Okay, last week we did a very interesting tshuva of the Labush quoted in the Maran Padua, but you know, whoever remembers, that's good. Okay, but this week we're going to begin from the beginning. We did a lot of things in the end. We did the last sugya, of course, and then we just last week we discussed the problem of Reach HaGet, and Reach HaGet is a situation, Reach HaGet and Get Me'ava, just to fill everybody in who wasn't here, meaning the idea that the Gemara says on in the beginning of HaMegaresh, Mishnah says that this is the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, if you're Megaresh, a person's Megaresh his wife, and he says, Chutz Miploni. So that's what we discussed last week. Can there be any kind of remnant or limitation, you know, in who is permitted, you know, after the get is given? And that's a debate between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Rav Elazar learns it from the pasuk regarding the psul kahunav isha grusha me isha lo yikachu. That's a strange formulation. Isha grusha me isha. The second Isha, of course, is with a mapike. So it means a woman who is divorced, me'isha, from her husband. But the diuk in the Gemara is that you could have a situation in which a woman is divorced from her husband, but not permitted to the rest of the world. So the way the Gemara explains it is that according to the Chachamim, maybe that's just what we call Reach HaGet, that just disqualifies her for kahuna, you know, but not... it doesn't constitute an actual gerushin, and therefore, if you know, if you were to say harat mugureshes umuteres lechaladam chutz miploni, you know, that even that wouldn't work, because this idea that you can have a partial get or a get that focuses on one aspect of the relationship and not on the other, that's only a din in reach haget, but it has no further implications. At least that's the simple reading of the Gemara. And Rabbi Eliezer thinks, no, if that, you know, disqualifies this woman from marrying a regular Kohen, so apparently there is some aspect objectively of Grusha, and therefore that's a justification for Rabbi Eliezer that even if there's a Shior, Shin Yod Vav Resh, something that you hold back in the get in terms of Heter L'Kula Alma, even though the focus is on Iser, that's a proper get. The Balei Tosfos then asks the question there, yeah, but either way, Rabbi Eliezer agrees it's the difference between Reach HaGet and everything else. I mean, he doesn't think, if you were to say, you know, Harei At Mugureshes Li, V'i At Muteres L'Kol Adam. You know, you can, you know, our relationship is over, but you can't get married to anybody. Right? Even Rabbi Eliezer would admit that that wouldn't work. You know, other than in kahuna, everybody admits that works in kahuna and not in anything else. So Tosfos came up with a very interesting idea, and that is somehow that, yeah, but, you know, if it wouldn't work, you know, at all, but Rabbi Eliezer was in the opinion that if a little bit of heter doesn't work and you need all heter, then it wouldn't be a get if there were no heter, even legabe kahuna. That's what we tried to explain a little bit last week. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing. And then from there, we discussed the position of the Levush, who had a whole different take on the concept of Reach HaGet and this idea. And I tried to read the tshuva. It's a long tshuva. We went through most of it last week to try to show it's a fascinating case, a case where basically this, you know, there was this young couple. He got ill, and... you know, her relatives, this part of it was fine, but, you know, basically convinced him that he should, you know, rather than leave her fate, you know, in terms of Yibum, you know, hanging in the air, that he should divorce her, and that if, you know, if all goes well and the therapy works, that, you know, then they can remarry. So Kachava, he did it, and then, you know, in the meantime, the uncles and all the other family members decided she'd be better off marrying somebody else. So he, you know, divorced her, thinking that they were going to get remarried. And so that's the case that we discussed. And the local poska, many of them said, listen, you know, sorry for the confusion, but, you know, she's divorced and nothing you can do about it. The Maram Lublin, this appears in the Tshuvas, the Maram Lublin, he said, you know, they tricked him, and it's a Gerushin Betos, and therefore nothing has happened, and she's married to him. And the Lavush came up with a new idea in between. He said, listen, and the way he said it was just fascinating, and that's what we read in last time. He said, listen, I was always troubled by the sugya in the last sugya in Gittin about grounds for divorce. And it always troubled me, like, how can Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, how can they think that Hikdicha Tafshilo or, Matzisha, Nahimena, that would be sufficient grounds, to divorce. It shouldn't work. Not only should it not be permissible, it shouldn't work. And even Beis Shammai, who says, it sounds like, but it works, it shouldn't work at all. So he goes on to explain that, in his opinion, there are really two parshios of Gittin. He says, I read the sugya in Yevamos. First he says, every Talmud Chacham that I met, I would ask him this question, and I never received a satisfactory. I can almost like envision, all these Talmud Chachamim, avoiding him. the young Lavush is going to bother you about this problem. So he said, I couldn't sleep at night, and I was so upset about the whole thing. He says, and I kept asking everybody and never found satisfaction. Then one day, I was reading through Gemara Yevamos and a little bit of Gittin, and I came across the sugya of Reach HaGet, and I realized that there are two parshios in the Torah. Just a fascinating, way how this breakthrough idea came to his mind. He was troubled by a concept, and then when he read the sugya, he realized that there are two parshios of Gittin. One is usnei ha'isha, lo matzachein be'enav, and there it says v'yatzav ha'isav, the isha acher. So that's the main parsha of Gittin. That's the Gittin that we typically encounter. That's the Gittin mesina. That's the Gittin where there has to be heter l'kol ha'olam, because the parsha itself says v'yatzav ha'isav isha acher. But then there's another parsha, he said, and that's the parsha of Reach HaGet, Psul Kahuna, and there the Torah doesn't speak about Heter Lashuk. It just says V'isha Gusha Me'isha Lo Yikachu. It zeroes in not on, her future, possibilities with other people, but the termination of the relationship to her husband. He says, and this is a big leap of the Lavush. He says, in my opinion, basically, this is not, there wouldn't be a Parsha. There wouldn't be a din of disqualification to the Kohen if it wasn't sort of some chalos, gerushin. He said, but in the end, what is it? It's the gerushin of Ava. And that's the pshat. The pshat is when you're megaresh mi'ava, you don't really want to end the marriage. You just want to make sure that she's not going to be, faced with the situation of Yibum. So you really want to make sure you're not her husband anymore, and therefore your brother is not her brother-in-law anymore. But you don't want to let her go free, and hopefully she doesn't want to go free, because, it's been a good marriage, and you want to remarry in case, the therapy works. So that's what the Lavush says, that in this particular case, he doesn't agree with the poskim who were matir. He thinks that they're completely wrong. They're matir isha l'shuk, and they're on the, on the precipice of being matir mamzerim, and he has a lot of very unkind, words for them. But he also initially didn't agree with the Maram Lublin. He says, it's not a mechatzos. But what it is a mikzas gerushin. It's a gerushin where they terminated their relationship so she wouldn't have yibum. And that has consequences for Kuhuna as well. But he wasn't mati her l'shuk. But his bigger chiddush is, not only he wasn't mater her l'shuk, and there's nothing he can do about that right now, or anybody can do about that right now, because since he's no longer her husband, the haraya, there's no yibum, the chalitza, he can't say, okay, now I'll give you the second half of the divorce, because he's not her husband anymore. So basically, she has one option, and that is to remarry him. Now, of course, if he remarries her, then he can divorce her fully, as well, like if they want to do that. But the point is that he can't just divorce her at this point. And she, you know, basically can only remarry him at this point to move forward. Yeah.
If this were a get meyahava, if you will, and therefore mekartos, if for some reason she'd be married elsewhere, if she
Well, the voice isn't saying that it's a mekartos.
Okay.
He's saying it's this is like a legal.
Okay, it's not mekartos according to the, but it could have been. But if, so it's an A-B question, I'll ask. If, according to him, she was remarried, is that chal? And two...
If she married somebody else?
Yes. And,
not chal.
And two, if she remarried and had a child, would he say maybe then it's chal? Because you don't want to create...
No, it sounds like he really thinks she would, that would
wow.
be...
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's spectacular. So, it's really... As I say, I don't think it was accepted.
Okay.
And then the phenomenon that I was trying to describe last week was, you know, but he was like certain about it. It's like, and then the people said to him, like, why didn't you write this in your book? You know, he wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. You know, the Levush was trying, was like in a race, you know, with Rabbi Yosef Karo, you know, to see who was going to write the Shulchan Aruch. So, anyway, but he wrote the Sefer Levush Malchus, which is very, you know, very prominent Sefer. And this halacha doesn't appear, you know, in Hilchos Geirushin. And so somebody said to him, like, why didn't you put this halacha in there? So he said, why bother once you read the sugya? He said, it's so obvious. You know, like, it's like writing over the psukim in Chumash, you know.
Wow.
So it's just an amazing...
Where is it found?
Where's what found? Oh, in the Tshuva, the Maran Blueprint. So again, these are the Maran Makomos that we gave out last week. I reproduced the, not the whole Tshuva, because it's many pages, but, wait, do we have it from, I'm not going to read it over, but...
You have them there.
I have it here. Okay, great, yeah. This is a number set 4.
Yes.
Right, we also read some other things, but... If you look here on set 4, we're going to move on now, just because I just wanted to, for those people who weren't here, just to explain at least what we were doing. So on page 2, this is the tshuva, Shut Maram Milublin Simen Kuf Chaf Gimel. Okay. In that tshuva, so this is the tshuva, there are pages and pages just about the other people wrote. And then he wrote, Shvahelecha, Chuvas Hagon Moreno Rav Mordechai Yaffa, that's the Levush, Sheheshev Al Inyan Amitaveh Beged Shchid Mirah now, with Pisedur HaSheela Sheshocho Elav Kata Makilin, he says, you know, the Makilin, you know, wrote their psak, and he responded, but Kodim Shegil Liyad, this is not so true either, but Maram Lublin said, of course, you know, his Chuva, the Levush, was before he received my Chuva, you know, but once he was, Kodim Shegil Liyad Odivre Chuvasi, Kasher hu akol mevuar b'devarav, apo pikein lo hiter ha'isha and niskeres li'alma, afilu begetcheni. But before he did that, Levush had her in limbo. You know, he wouldn't even let the husband write her again at this point. Rakshi ematzer chos alachso lebala rishona. Avalachar shabal liyado divrei tshuvasi v'yisam tu lo kala devarim. Maram Lublin is writing, once he saw my good tshuva, you know, and then he saw how true it was. Not that the Levush's argument was wrong, but that, forget about all that, they just tricked him anyway, because they told him this is what's going to happen, you know, they put their you know, arm around his shoulder, you know, figuratively, they said it'll be fine, you know, we love you like a son, you know, all the things, and then he went ahead, you know, he did the job, and then they, you know, they dropped him, you know, he was no longer like a son anymore. So the Maram Lublin was saying, he didn't say, I think Levush is right, but we don't need that in this case. You know, he just said, forget about all that, you know, they tricked him. So, batal daita va'osel gamkein haskamasa la'tzricha getcheni. But if you look at the, at least initially, even after he got the Maram Lublin's tshuva, and it's all written in these, published by the Maram Lublin, all these tshuva, he doesn't say that, he just says, you know, this is what I think. And he takes on all comers, and he says, I understand, everybody's going to tell me it's against explicit tosis. He rereads the tosis. But what's really interesting is that in the Rabbi Ruchum Fisho Perlo, Sefer Mitzvah Shav Sajigon, so he thinks that he found a lot of support in the Gaonim, you know, for, you know, this is Defense and Levush and the Maram Lublin, that's 16th century. So he thinks that, you know, back in the time of Rapsajagon, you know, and a little after, that he found some tshuvas that seemed to, you know, identify with this concept of tshuva me'ava, and, you know, with a similar idea of kind of a partial, you know, get. And then he goes on to try to, you know, it's like the second, you know, appearance of the Lava. Then he says, oh, and by the way, I think Rashi holds this way, and, you know, the Rajba holds this way, and, you know, everybody, it's like, it's shocking, but it's fascinating. Anyway, so that was last week's discussion. So basically, what we
The get that was they say called Malchus Beis David, Yosei Tzava of.
Yeah. This is.
So what kind of get did they write? Did they write a?
So I don't know. I mean, but that would be a grounds for, that would be an example of a get me'ava.
Right.
So if it was written again. So what he points out in the Tshuva is, if you write it in a very specific way, you can change. I mean, you could write a full get, obviously. The question of stama, like if you just write a get me'ava, you know, what do we think that you mean, you know, and is it this middle category? So the whole thing with, you know, David and all that, you know, I mean, they could have written it in a more, but that definitely is a case of get me'ava. And one of the things I pointed out last week also was that, even those who don't, you know, go anywhere near where the Lavush was going, in terms of saying it's a different category of get, do think that there's a chalos get me'ava legabe a mitzvah, for example. Like the Netziv doesn't say there'd be a mitzvah, but the Netziv thought that the word v'shilcha, as opposed to v'girsha, is a way of the Torah being merames, that, you know, there also can be a get me'ava. He thinks that the word shilcha, to me, the word shilcha sounds like not shulcha, but shilcha. You know, she was expelled, you know. It's an active form, obviously. But he says, doesn't matter. I mean, he knows that better than I do. But why does it say begirsha? You know, which would be, says, oh, in Tanakh, the language of shlichus usually implies, you know, litova. You know, you're doing something, you know, for the person. You know, lirtsona. It's something that they want or something that they benefit from. So then it seems doesn't say, and there are two types of gittin and there are nafkamina, this whole bit, which is fascinating. But he does think, you know, that the Torah itself is merames, that even though most gittin are out of discord, you know, what is it, irreconcilable differences, in some cases it's a manifestation of chesed and affection. Yeah.
What kind of a get?
Well, you said it was an A and B.
Did A and B. A was
The
mamzer. Getting married. Right. B was having a child. What kind of a get is written for before someone's going on a boat or someone?
Well, that's
going
kind of what's as simple as that. That's
right.
It's a similar. It means when you have a chashash.
Or going to war or something.
Right. So this, in theory, this. I mean, the Lavush, you know, describes two scenarios.
Okay.
One is yibum, meaning that, you know, in order to escape from the. Let's say the, you know, the yavam is too young. Let's say he's, you know, a difficult personality. Let's say, you know, it's just too traumatic. You know, so you want to spare her, you know, if she doesn't want the yibum. You want to spare her from, that's one. And the other one is either illness or war, or a long journey, you know, where people are incommunicado and you just don't know what happens to them. I mean, the chashash of, you know, somebody disappearing and are not knowing,
so
you know.
It's the same kind.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. And in both cases, again, there's no rancor. And on the contrary, he's looking out for her.
Right.
You know, so it's a very interesting thing. Okay, so now we want to start from go back to the beginning of the Masechta, and to discuss the problems of you know, of the beginning. But especially, I want to begin at least with we'll just read some Mishnah and Gemara today. But I want to also begin to discuss Eidei Mesira and Eidei Chasima Karsi, since we discuss grounds for divorce, and then we discuss the relationship between the two components of divorce, namely the termination of the marital relationship and the impact or the parallel, you know, heter isha l'shuk. So now let's try to understand better what a shtar is, and by extension what a get is. Okay, so now let's start just with a little bit of Gemara. A lot of the things that you have here, because I don't always know if people have Gemaras, is some of the Gemaras on in the end of Masechta and the beginning of the Masechta. So that, you know, those of you who have Shas Gemaras don't need that. But then we'll discuss the some of the Rishonim as well. So the Mishnah says in the beginning of the Masechta, maybe get me Medina Sayam. So Medina Sayam, Rashi explains, Kol Chutz Laaretz Kari Le Medina Sayam, Bar Mi Bavel. So either way, person is bringing, there's a get, and it's coming, you know, from Chutz Laaretz. So the Mishnah says, Tzarech Sheyomar B'fanei Nachta B'fanei Nachta. It, the Shliach, who brings the get, has to make a proclamation or a declaration. It's important that he declare B'fanei Nachta B'fanei Nachta, that this get was written and signed in my presence. We'll see in a Gemara why. We'll see in a moment why that's only in Baby Get Medina Sayam, not in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, and that this is a din d'rabbanan. It's a little strange. I mean, again, I, you know, began the years limud, you know, with dinim d'oraisa, and I did that purposely because I was interested in trying to establish, you know, some of the principles of gittin. And therefore grounds for divorce and you know, the relationship between, the Baal part and the Olam part of Gittin. These are cardinal principles of Get. But what's fascinating is that the Mishnah actually begins the Masechta on a rabbinic note, right? This takana, enactment, everybody agrees it's only a takana, that a shliach who brings a get from Chutz Laaretz is obligated to declare b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta. This is an interesting phenomenon. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel Lomer, afa maybe min a rekem cheger, Rabbi Lazar ma mikvar ludim lulud, chachom imomrim, etc. Ein tzor shiyomar b'fanei nachta, b'fanei nachta, ela hamevi min medina sayam, v'amolech v'amevi m'medina l'medina b'medina sayam tzarech shayam b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar afilu l'hegmonia l'hegmonia. I'm not going to go into all these places right now. Maybe we'll go back to that. This ends up being, again, curiously, because it's Masechet Gittin, right? But this whole Mishnah and the discussion around it, including some of the discussion in the Gemara, which we'll get back to, ends up being a very important source for some of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Even though the Eretz Yisrael issue here is more technical, as we'll see, nonetheless, the Mishnah is describing, you know, what the boundaries are for this particular halacha, and then the Gemara, and, you know, there are implications for other dinim as well. So we'll get back to that. So I'm just going to gloss over this for the moment, because it doesn't really help what we're focusing on for today or for the next few weeks. Anyways, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mirekem Lemizrach, Mirekem Kimizrach, Me'ashkelon Ledorum, Ashkelon Kidvar, Me'akol Letzafon, Me'akol Kitzafon. These are boundaries for Eretz Yisrael for this din of this requirement of Fanei Nachta, Fanei Nachtam. Rameir Omer Akko Ke'eretz Yisrael Gittin. Bali Tosis have a big discussion about the status, this massive Tosis here, Ve'ashkelon Kidvarum. Right, Tosis has a very big discussion about Akko and all the mixed information about the status of Akko. Finally, the Mishnah says, I maybe get Eretz Yisrael. However, if you a get is brought inside of Eretz Yisrael, in a Tzarech Sheyomar B'fanei Nachta B'fanei Nachtam, then there's no requirement to declare B'fanei Nachta B'fanei Nachtam. The in Yesh Olav Orim, on the other hand, if some accusation is made that the get is not authentic, then Yiskayim Bechosamav. You might have to, you know, authenticate the get by bringing it to Bezdin and, you know, having, you know, people come and testify, you know, that these are the legitimate signatures of people and not something that was forged, etc. So, of course, you could tell already, you know, even if you didn't know anything else, that this is a din d'rabbanan, right? Because we're dealing with Gittin. Gittin is not, you know, mitzvos atfuyos, you know, ba'aretz, it's not tribus of Isrus and shmita. So why would there be different standards for a get in Eretz Yisrael and a get in Chutz La'aretz? Right? So obviously there are other factors at play, and even though, which makes that actually very interesting, but again, not our topic for tonight, that, you know, it's fascinating that there's so much discussion about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael here, when clearly it isn't fundamentally a din in Eretz Yisrael, right? So either you need b'farnei nechtav or you don't. Obviously, the fact that you don't need it in Eretz Yisrael shows that midaraisa you don't need it. So why do you need it in Chutz La'aretz? Okay, so this is the Mishnah. Basically, to sum up, I'm not going to, you know, go into the pratim now. We'll go back to it. To sum up, the Mishnah distinguishes between a get and Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz with respect to the requirement of b'farnei nechtav. And then, in addition to that, the Mishnah does some work on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Then the Gemara zeroes in right away on what this is all about. You know, my taima, meaning this is a din d'rabbanan, clearly. You know, otherwise you wouldn't have this distinction. And what's the reason for it? Why do you have to say b'farnei nechtav, b'farnei nechtav? So the Gemara says this is a debate between Rabba and Rava. My taima, Rabba Amar Lefish Ein Bikiyan Lishma. So if you look at Rashi on top of base on the base, Rashi says Ein Bnei Medina Sayam Bnei Torah. Right, the people in Chutz La'aretz, I guess in this Tkufa certainly, were less well versed in Halacha. Right, they weren't Bnei Torah. And therefore, they're, you know, they couldn't be relied upon, you know, to, to create and to, you know, deliver gittin properly. They weren't aware, or they weren't sufficiently aware of the requirement, you know, the kasav law lishma, that a get should be written specifically for this woman. In other words, you can't have a factory, you know, generic ordered get. You know, every every Reuven who's married to every Sarah, you know, we've got 100 gittin, you know, ready to go. that doesn't work. That every get has to be written l'shem ha'isha, l'shem ha'isha. It's a personal. We'll talk about it as we go forward. Also, it's a very interesting thing because normally, just say this very quickly. Normally, the concept of lishma is something that, you know, has a varied history, but mostly we associate it with the Darbar Shev Kedusha. Karbanos, you know, Sifrei Torah, Tfilin, you know, again, it also applies to matzah, which isn't the Darbar Shev Kedusha, but that's more l'shem shmira samatzah. It's a little bit of a different thing. You know, typically we think of it as a requirement of Kedusha. Obviously, that doesn't apply in the case of Gittin. But what does apply in the case of Gittin is the personal element, if you ask me. Meaning, Lishma underscores the personal nature of every Geirushin. You can't have a generic or a factory, ordered get. The marriage is very personal and very individualistic, you know, and therefore, you know, the divorce has to relate to the individuals and to the particulars of that marriage. So there's a requirement of lishma. Apparently, the people in Medina Sayam were not sufficiently versed in that. Ein yodim shetzrichim b'chtov get l'shem isha ukroksi v'kasav la sefer krisos la d'hainu lishma. That's the source. Hilkach omer hashliach. B'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. And therefore it's important for the shliach to declare that, you know, he was present when the ksiva and chasima took place. That's all he says initially. U'mimela shayninan lei. And then naturally they'll say to him, im nechtav lishma, right? Was it written lishma? Right? V'hu omer in, and he'll say yes. At least we hope he'll say yes. U'lkamei mefarish, right, l'neimar l'shma. Why does he have to say b'fanei nechtam l'shma? by why does he just say b'fanenechta, but then we ask him, and then he says l'shma, or he says in, right? Yeah.
So
okay.
when they pick somebody to be the shliach,
yeah.
Do they already have in mind that the shliach has to be of a certain caliber, because he's also...
They would have to, because again, without b'fanenechta,
b'fanenechta... Right, because it's not a stam guy.
Yeah, exactly. He has to at least know... Correct.
If they already knew that, don't you think they would have known the Lishma aspect as well? Okay.
No, I hear it. It's a question.
Okay.
You know, it's not what they call a killer question.
No, absolutely not.
But it's a point. Yeah. You know, Yesh Dvarim Bego, as they say. Rav Amar, Lefisha Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaim. Rav said that's not the reason. The reason is that we're worried that there will be a challenge to the authenticity of this get, and you know, since the journey, you know, from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael is, and you know, the ability to check things out, you know, the highways and the byways, you know, are not so reliable. So we need somebody who's in front of us, you know, who can solve the potential problem of authentication. You know, if we were just to accept the get, and then there would be an error, and we'd have to start, you know, trying to communicate, you know, from, you know, Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael or whatever, you know, we'd be in trouble. That's the, if you look at Rashi, just to fill it in, Lefisha Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, Ein Shayaros Mitzuyos Misham L'Kaim, meaning the communication and the travel conditions from between the two places, you know, is not smooth. Shem yavo abal v'arer, therefore, if the husband were to make a claim against the authenticity of the shtar, lomar, to say, lo kasavti, it's not, I didn't write this shtar, right? Sheyuch edim mitzuyim lahakir chasim asa edim, right? There wouldn't be edim around, you know, who would be able to establish, you know, that indeed this is an authentic get. It's hard, the communication between the places is a problem. So consequently, v'heminu l'shliach, so, you know, they invested this nemanus in the shliach himself, with a common parich, and the Gemara is going to ask in a minute, right, bein l'rava, liboy trey. Okay, so we're not going to discuss that sugya tonight either, but we'll probably get back to that too. I'm more interested right now in the shtaros parts. But the question that the Gemara is going to ask in just a minute is, if you really need to establish that this get is lishma, or you really need to establish, because you're concerned lest there will be a challenge, so you need to, you know, authenticate, you know, this document, this contract. So one would have thought that authentication or establishing lishma is a regular testimony, and that would require two aidim. How do you get away with a shliach who's only one aid? Right? Oh, yeah.
For the second for Rava, this is about in the future. You'll have to. This is about knowing that in the future you'll be able to authenticate it. It's not about the current aid. It's about future.
It's about the concern that what will happen if there's a challenge.
But it's more just checking that in the future there'll be aidim that can confirm that.
But not aidim. We want him to confirm right now, because we're worried that if we left it up to the normal protocols, that because of the breakdown in communications between the places, that we won't be able to authenticate.
Yeah,
therefore,
exactly.
We want to do it now. You know, we want to kind of nip it in the bud. We want to preempt any kind of challenge. His saying, b'fanenechtam, preempts a potential challenge, which would be a very serious problem, given, you know, the breakdown in communication between the places.
So at this point, then we would rely on the fact that there was an Avis now or some...
Right. Now, the question is, that's what Rashi's raising the question, I think Gemara's going to raise in a minute, which is, if you're talking about verifying the shtar, or you're talking about, you know, verifying that there was an indispensable requirement that you have doubt, you know, whether it was properly executed, then why is it good enough to have one aid for that? Typically, you need two aid for, you know, to establish something that has the weight of, you know, authenticating, validating, you know, a get. I mean, a lot is at stake in a get, right? She's going to be Mutaris Lashok. You know, it's nothing more consequential than that. So how can you get away with that? That you'll see in a minute. That's what Gemara is going to have. We'll go over the Shach Lotari, but, you know, the deeper analysis of that will leave, you know, for another few weeks. So the Gemara says, initially the Gemara says, my benayu. What's the distinction between Rabba and Rava? Meaning, are there nafkamina? You know, each one has a different explanation why you need funny nechtam, funny nechtam. But what is the, what's the difference between them? So let's stick with Rashi for the moment, just to get through the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ike benayu, one nafkamina will be the asu, beitre. Let's say there isn't just one shliach. Let's say there are two shluchim. So Rashi explains, Ushneim nasu shluchim, okay, legarsha, he appoints like two shli, you only need one shliach, but he makes two people to go together legarsha. Baget yotze mitachas yidei shneim. So l'rabba, boy l'meimar, it doesn't help you for the lishma problem if there are two. Two is no better than one. The problem is the people who prepared the, you know, the get back, you know, back in the other place, were concerned that they didn't follow, you know, the halacha of lishma. So if it's one person or two people, they still have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. But l'rava lo boy l'meimar sharei shnayim heim v'im ya'arer bal harei heim mitzuyim l'kaimo. On the other hand, since there are two of them, right, so they wouldn't have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, because if there's a challenge, you know, then we have two aidim. It's only if we, you know, need to get away with one, you know, there aren't two witnesses, so this is a mechanism to neutralize that claim, right? But if there are two aidim here, you know, so we don't need to, you know, you don't need to employ the communication or the travel system, you know, that has broken down, so then you shouldn't have to say before and after. So that's one nafkamina. That's what the Gemara says. Inami mi medina le medina, right, the Eretz Yisrael, as Rashi explains. Kagon, Yehuda v'Galil. Let's say you have two sections within Eretz Yisrael. So kadai techashta, the Gemara's havamina was, the lo shchichi shai rasa. Right, so even between parts of Eretz Yisrael, the travel and communication was difficult, was very challenging. So according to the reasoning of Rava, right, who says the problem is that, you know, ein edim mitzuyim l'kaimo, that would be a problem within Eretz Yisrael, different regions as well. So the Rava, the lochai shle'ir rusa, the name of mezuyafu, but for Rava, he's worried about lishma, right? He's not worried about ir habal. For him, as long as they all come from Eretz Yisrael, where the standards, you know, are well known and well kept, it's not a problem. Lo boi lemeimar, holim b'kiyim kol b'nei Eretz Yisrael lishma. But therefore, but l'rava boi lemeimar, doha'ein shayaros mitzuyos. But, you know, the same kind of communication difficulties that Gemara thought, that plague chutz la'aretz Eretz Yisrael, plague, you know, inter Eretz Yisrael too, and therefore from a kiyim shtaros point of view, you would be required. Inami, that's a third answer of the Gemara. Va'osa medina b'medinas hayam. So osa medina b'medinas hayam, as you can understand, maybe there's no communication and transportation problem, so that's good for the problem of, you know, kiyum shtaros, is no problem. But if the problem is that people in Chutz La'aretz aren't sufficiently well-versed in the requirement of lishma, then, you know, then maybe Medina la Medina is the same problem, internally it's the same problem. That's what Rashi explains. Inami bosa Medina could go ear to ear, but Medina achas, you know, from one city to another within a single state or country. Medina rotarida, whatever it is, or Medina sayam, that's what we're talking about. This is all within Medina sayam. So l'rabba by the Neymar, the Embeki and Lishma. In a way, they don't know Lishma. L'rava d'amar l'fishein mitzuyim l'kaimo, masisim mishum irura d'ziofu, we're worried about the challenge that maybe this is a forgery, hachalot zarech doshchichi shayrasa. Okay, good. That's the shakur v'tar. So basically what we have is this requirement of faninach and faninachdam in, you know, chutz la'aretz, and, you know, apparently not, you know, in Eretz Yisrael. And then a discussion in the Gemara whether the reason is because of the Shema, Rabbah, or Eidem Mitzvim L'Kaimo, the fear of a challenge, Rava. And then the Gemara has three nafkamina, you know, regarding if there are two people come, you know, from one Medina to another Medina in Eretz Yisrael, or within one Medina in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, so far so good, hopefully. Then the Gemara asks the question that Rashi foreshadowed. Let's just look at that very quickly, though again we'll go back and analyze it later. The Gemara says, right, if the reason is that we're worried about the requirement of Lishma, and therefore we need somebody to attest that it was properly, you know, executed, Libai, Trey, then you should need two witnesses, not one. Right? Midi dehava kol eduyos shebetorah. It's not less than, you know, the requirements of Aegis and Kalatabra Kula. You could argue that in some respects it's more, because this is a, you know, Dabar Sheba Erva. Right? Says the Gemara, Eilechadamon Bisurim. No, you don't need two, because they're not testifying about the Maisa Gerushin, let's say. They're testifying about a condition or a detail, you know, whether or not this get was written Lishma or not Lishma. That would come, the Gemara thought, under the rubric of Eidechad Neman Bisurim. Single aid is Neman to say this is Chelev and that's Shuman. Right? This is kosher and this is not kosher, etc. Says the Gemara, is this really Eidechad Neman Bisurim? Eimur damer Eidechad Neman Bisurim kigon chaticha safek shol Chelev safek shol Shuman. If you have a food, and we're not sure if it's kosher or not kosher, so then we say Eidechad Neman Bisurim. Right? The lowest chazak yisur. We don't know that there's a problem. So, and it's being established that, you know, that there's no problem. Aval hacha, but here, this chazak yisur de eshes ish, she is an eshes ish. That's her status quo. And what we want to do is we want to transform her, you know, from an eshes ish into a grusha. Right? And we want to know that that was done properly. If, you know, even though it looks like Lishma focuses on a narrow detail, but that narrow detail is going to determine whether or not, you know, the mechanism that's motzi osa b'cheskasa, you know, has been properly accomplished or not. Therefore, it's interesting, according to, I have to look at different results, but the pashas of the Gemara that we, the text that we have, the Gemara is equating is chazak yisur and davar shebereva. Right? The Gemara says, hocha is chazak yisur deshesesh, and therefore, have davar shebereva, and the rule is, ein davar shebereva pachas mishna. So, we're back to square one. How could the funny nachtam, we understand why you need the funny nachtam, but how does it work? Right? Eid Echad, who does work in Yisurim, right, should be inadequate when it's his Chazak Yisura / a Dover Sheba Erba. There you should require two Eid. Says the Gemara, no, Rov B'Kiyin Hein, which is the Gemara's way of saying, listen, the problem of worrying about Lishma, you know, is not as dire or as serious as we originally presented it. In other words, most people are b'kiyin in Lishma, even in Chutz La'aretz. Okay? The problem is that there are a few, you know, ignorant, you know, misadre gittin, or whatever it is, you know, and we're worried about them. So to worry about them, we, you know, legislated or enacted the requirement of b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Had it been a real objective, you know, a 50-50 suffix, something like that, then we'd say, you know what, this doesn't help you, because at the end of the day, we're so worried about the absence of our substantive concern for the absence of lishma is, you know, translates into, you know, a davar shebe'erva problem, and a davar shebe'erva pachas mishtan. So farinachta, the magic words of the shliach aren't going to help you. But the truth of the matter is that it isn't a davar shebe'erva, because really, you know, rove are bekiyim in this matter, and therefore it's only a miut that we're worried about. So for the miut, right, eid achad, you know, and funny enough, will suffice. And then just to, for good measure, the Gemara says, Vafil Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir in Shas is the man of Amar, says, Chayshina l'miuta. Okay, Rabbi Meir always, you know, is worried about even, you know, a minority. So even according to Rabbi Meir, you know, this, even Rabbi Meir agrees that this particular minority, you know, is rather remote. Because Stam, Sifri Dedaini, Migmar, Gmiri. Who really, you know, writes Gittin, right? I mean, the Torah says the Kosovla, we'll get to in a minute, the Kosovla Sefer Krisa is referring to the husband, you know, but typically, you know, the husband isn't the one who writes the get. Sofer writes the get. He might need shlichus. He's doing it on behalf of Baal. But, you know, mostly Gittin are professionally written. So what, the professional scribes, Sofrim, who write Gittin, don't know that you need Lishma in Chutz Laretz? Or in Chutz Laretz don't know that you need Lishma? The answer is, a larger group than in Eretz Yisrael, enough that we want to close that hole because we're dealing with HSH and so on and so forth, but not even enough for this to be a Rav Meir problem. Okay? So it turns out, in a way, it turns out a little bit more impressive in a way, because, in other words, it's a chashash rachok, ad kedei kach, that even Rav Meir wouldn't really worry about it. But we are worried about it because it's gittin. Right, and we don't want to play, you know, games. We don't take any chances, practically, you know, with Gittin, and therefore they legislated the funny nechta, funny nechtam, even though it's a very remote suffix, you know. And they didn't do that in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael it's, you know, it's so remote, you know, maybe that there's not even a latest suffix, you know. Of course, there could be cases in Eretz Yisrael that are problematic. But until you hear about them, you don't worry about them. In Chutz Laretz, you worry about them, apparently, but you don't worry about them enough that Rabbi Meir, who's Chayish Lemuta, you know, would say you need to aid. Even Rabbi Meir will agree that you can get away with Fanenechta Mavon. So, as I say, what emerges is, an interesting perspective at just how concerned we are that Gittin be done, you know, Kedasu Kedin. There's a lot at stake. Okay. Good. Then the Gemara says, Rabbanon. I'm sorry. So let me go back. Chayshlumuta Sam Sifrei Daini Migmar Gmir. They're experts. The Rabbanon who da'atzruch. It's only a din Rabbanon that we're worried about this remote possibility. V'hochem Yishum Iguna. Since it only is a remote din Rabbanon, and we don't want to hold her up in a get. Because, you know, there are consequences. There are consequences to going ahead and being rash, you know, and taking any kind of risk, you know, in terms of HSH and Bamzeris and so on. But at the same time, we don't want to be over protective, because then she can't continue with her life. You know, it's a classic, you know. There are pressures and counter pressures on both sides, and that's what people often don't fully appreciate. You know, that making these decisions, whether it's on a, you know, legislative level, when you're kind of, you know, predicting or, you know, you're making policy, you know, how machmir and how makil should we be in these standards, that's what this is all about, really, right? So you're walking a very fine line. And the same is true when more, you know, when less predictable, you know, issues come up, when things just happen, you know, and then poskim have to weigh different considerations. This is what they're concerned about. Okay. Anyways, says the Gemara, Hai kulahu chumrahu. The imatrachle trei, right, la'asi bal ma'arer upasole. Chad asi bal ma'arer upasole. Maybe instead of being makil and allowing her to move forward, maybe actually, you know, you are you're causing problems. Because if you instead had insisted that there be, you know, two instead of one, then maybe that would preclude the Baal from, you know, leveling any kind of accusation, you know, to begin with. So again, without going into details, on a policy level, you see what's going on here. As you're trying to predict, you know, all the, you're trying to, you know, foresee, you know, everything that could possibly go wrong, you know, and then put a value, you know, on each potential problem, right, in a way that doesn't stymie, you know, the get, but it also protects, you know, the goal of the get and the purpose of the party. So that's what the Gemara is saying here. Says the Gemara, Kivin d'amamar b'fnei kama no snow law. Since we'll discuss this also, you know, when he hands over the get, how many people should be present? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, chad amar b'fnei shnayim, chad amar b'fnei gimel. So everybody knows that there are going to be people there scrutinizing this process. Mikara medak dayik velo osi la ruei nafshe. Okay, look at Rashi just for a second. He explains this. Bifnei kama nosno shliach zel ishto. Yomer bifnei mfanei nech mfanei nech. Who's the audience for mfanei nech mfanei nech? Dami, the two or three people. Therefore, meikara medak dayik hashliach kishevekabel v'yadabal v'yodea shevaratzon megarsha. He's going to be very careful since he's going to have to make his declaration in the presence of two or maybe even three, almost like a bezdin. So he's going to be very careful that when he receives the get from the Baal, to know that, you know, everything was done properly, beratzon, lishma, velo yavo, v'arer, od. V'inami, orer, inoneman, debadai, dok, b'milsa, shaper. Like, if he's all of a sudden going to start claiming that the whole thing is a fraud, you know, he's going to have a lot of other explanations, you know, to give, he's explaining to do, in terms of his part of it. Okay, then the Gemara goes on, don't take a long whatever, but it's important to get through this. Then the Gemara says the exact, raises the same question for Rava, meaning we just discussed the problem, how could an Echad, Shliach Echad, accomplish the goal of the Fonei Nechtem, of Lishma, should that require two Edim, and that's the Shakavatari of the Gemara. But if you hold like Rava, that the problem is irrabal, and the problem of kiyum shtaros, kiyum chosamos, then again, why wouldn't you require two edim? How could you get away with one? So the Gemara says, well, Rav, Adam, Lepish, edim, etzim, lekaimo, liboy tre. Wouldn't you have to have two edim? Midi dahabe, a kiyum shtaros, the alma. If the point here is to verify and authenticate the signatures of the get, then they're, you know, in the standard requirement of authentication of a contract, you need two witnesses. Forget about Kitten. Any other star that appears in front of Besdin, and there's an error, there's a challenge to the authenticity. Somebody says, oh, it's a forgery, right? So you have to either bring in the signatories or witnesses, you know, who, you know, who were there, or witnesses who can authenticate their penmanship, their handwriting, right? You always need to. How come here, all of a sudden, and again, where the stakes are greater, you're going to get away with one? So that's what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara, Nechadam Bisurin. Says the Gemara, that's not a good answer. Nechadam Bisurin, the same Shakavataria. To apply to a different case. When do we say Echonem Bisurim? We go in Katicha, Safek Chelev, Safek Shuman, Velo Ischazik Yisura. Avalhoch Ischazik Yisura de Eshas Ish, Havadavar Sheba Erva, Dein Dover Sheba Erva, Pachas Mishayim. Here we're talking about a consequence of being Matir Isha Lashup when she is a Eshas Ish, you need two witnesses for that. Says the Gemara, "Bedinu dekiyum shtaris nami lo libot." Actually, the whole principle that we're concerned and need to authenticate a contract, the shtar, that is all a din d'rabbanan. Now, what does it mean, all a din d'rabbanan? I'll explain in a minute. Kidderei Reish Lakish, and here the Gemara invokes the famous view of Reish Lakish, which we can speak much more about. The Amar Reish Lakish, Eidim Achasumim al Ashtar, Nasa Kibisha Nechkara Edusan Bebezdin. Eidim was signed on the Ashtar, it's as if they were interrogated and, you know, found to be authentic in Bezdin. V'Rabbanan Huda Atzruch, it's only a rabbinic requirement that you have to authenticate a contract when it comes in front of you. And since this is, you know, going to hold up the works, therefore, this din d'rabbanan, we were mekel and we allowed it to take place with an eidach. Then once again, the Gemara says, you think you're doing her a favor, haikula hu chumrahu, de imatzrach le trei lo osibal uma'arer, right? If there were two, right, if we were more stringent in what we require, then, you know, maybe that would further discourage any kind of challenge. So by seemingly being makel, in the end of the day, you're doing a disservice to the, you know, beneficiary, the so-called beneficiary of this kula, which is the isha, because you're opening the door wider for him to make a legitimate, you know, accusation. Says the Gemara, "Kivud Amar Mar b'fnei Kamenos no lo same answer." Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, Chana b'fnei Shayim, Chana b'fnei Gimel, Mikara Meidak Dayik v'lo Osi la'arue Nafsh. Okay. So again, I should just mention very quickly. We'll get back to this. This idea of Reish Lakish that the Gemara mentions here is mentioned a couple places in Chas. It's mentioned here. And it's mentioned in the second parak of Ksumas. You know, and we'll discuss that as well. It took on or assumed much greater proportions. The statement of Reish Lakish, which in the Gemara is applied technically very narrowly, became like a code phrase, if you will, for the uniqueness of the halachic perspective on shtaros, on contracts. I'll explain what I mean. But just to, you know, highlight the problem for a minute, what does Reish Lakish say? The words, Eidim achasumim al ashtar, Eidim who sign, right, on a contract, Nasa kemisha nechkara edusan bebezin. It's as if they were interrogated, you know, in court, you know, and established, you know, as being authentic. That's a very high aspiration and ambition for something that never happened, right? It looks like, you know, a legal fiction, meaning they weren't interrogated. And of course, this is the challenge of understanding the whole concept of shtaris, which we'll speak much more about. Misha says in Bava Basra that kosin shtar, right, lilove afal pi she'ena malva imo. Kosvin shtar, right, le, you know, lebal, afal pisha eina isha imo. Right? Meaning, the way that a shtar, that a contract is typically produced, is that the mischayev, we'll call him, because that'll help us for later too, the person who, you know, is obligating, you know, to a certain new legal reality or standard, you know, I'm going to sell my field, right? So I'm going to ask Edom to draw up a contract, to sign, you know, a shtar mecher, right? I'm going to borrow money, right? So I ask Edom, you know, to set up a shtar milva, which subsequently is going to be handed over to the, you know, to the creditor. The debtor, right, tells two witnesses, draw up, you know, a loan agreement. The, you know, the mocher tells the edim, draw up a contract of sale. The Baal says to two Edim, draw up a get, draw up a divorce, you know, so I want to divorce my wife. What's the point? What does the Mishnah mean, afal pi she'ein imo? Meaning, this is all a preparatory stage in the process. I mean, nothing has happened. The get is not chal, and the mechar is not chal, and the milva is not chal, right? Until the action takes place. Right? The kiddushin of kiddush shtar doesn't take place until the shtar is given to the woman. The same is true with the get. The same is true in a mechar. In milva, it's usually the matan mos, but it's the same for the shibudim, until the shtar is handed over. By the time the shtar is handed over, right, if the Edom are there and they happen to know about it, it's just a coincidence. They don't need to. The Edom are called into the home of the Baal, and then said, prepare this document. I hereby divorce my wife, the proper nusach, you know, and so on. And they sign. And then later, according to the Mandama Rabbi Meir, the Edom Chasim HaKarsi, and then later on, that document, that contract, the get, or the Shtar Milva, or the Shtar Mecher, or the Shtar Matana, whatever it is, or the Shtar Kiddushin, or Shikur Rabin, whatever it is handed over, right, to the beneficiary, you know, to the Konem, call it. She's Kones Atzma in the case of the get. Right? The Lokeach. The Malva. Okay? So, what do we mean? What does Reish Lakish mean when he says that Eim Machsum Al Ashtar, which takes place before the action itself, like let's say the Baal changes his mind, or the Mocher changes his mind, or the Lova changes his mind, doesn't want to borrow money. Right? So, he changes his mind. He can rip up the Shtar. Nothing has happened. The Eidei Chasima, unless it's a coincidence and they happen to be there for the critical moment when the actual transaction takes place, right? I didn't see anything. So it's tamua biyoter. In what sense are they witnesses? This is not my question. This is the question, you know, that Rishonim ask, and especially Achronim ask, like, you know, how does Shtar work? And instead of, you know, kind of addressing that more frontally, the Gemara makes, I wouldn't say exaggerated claims, because that's not really the answer is much more profound, but the Gemara says, Kimishin Echroi do some advancement. And not only do we consider them to be, this to be proper testimony, right, it's testimony that as the equivalent of having been interrogated, you know, and found authentic. Wow. So here, just in this context, it's a great example of it. This is one of the two places where we have it. Right? Eidem Achsum Mal Shtar, Nasa Kavishnechar, Yisum Bebezin tells you what? It's coming to explain what? To explain that Debekiyam Shtar Asnami Loli Boy. Really, if somebody claims about a contract that it's a forgery, this is the general view, and I'll tell you the other view in just a minute, but generally, this is the standard view. If somebody says about a contract that it's forgery, Minat Torah, we don't believe them. Why? Because the Edom themselves, right, establish that it's authentic. Because Edom Achsum Al Ashtar Nasa Kamishin Akroi Jusum Bebezdin. And therefore, the only reason we need to really respond to this accusation is Midrabanan. And that's what the Gemara says. It's only a Dindrabanan. Once it's only a Dindrabanan, they were Metakein, Mishumeguna, in this case, that you can get away with one. But when you think about it, the whole thing is a catch, seems like a catch 22. We know that the Shtar is accurate because the Edom are Ki'ilu interrogated. But isn't that what the Baal is saying? That they're not real Edom? That their signatures are a forgery? So there are some Rishonim, the Mordechai quotes this and so on, that say, no, the Gemara doesn't really mean this. What the Gemara means is something else. Right, there can be two scenarios. One is when there's an actual accusation. Right? The Baal says, this isn't my, I didn't write this contract, it's a forgery. Right? Or the Lova says that, or the, you know, whatever. That's one scenario. So in the Mordechai, there's a view, we'll discuss it when we get to it, but just to be aware, even as we go along. So if that happens, you know, then maybe Minat Torah you have to defend the Shtar. What the Gemara is saying is something else, and that is, the rule is, Midrabanan, that when you receive a contract, right, that you have to, Midrabanan, you have to authenticate the signatures. You have to establish, you know, its validity, its authenticity. What the Gemara is saying is, until there's an error, you don't have to do that. That's where Rish Lakish applies. But if there's really an accusation, to say, oh, the defense of the accusation is Kamisha Nechor Yusim Abez, why? I mean, that seems circular. But most Rishonim think that's what Rish Lakish is actually saying. That even if there's an accusation, the accusation is ignored in the Torah, based on this idea of Reish Lakish. Now Rashi Al-Attar explains it in terms of an umdana. We'll get back to it, but just so you should be aware right away. Rashi says, Nasa Kamisha Nechroi Dusan Bebezdin, Delo Chatzif Inish Lezufe. Because people are not presumptuous enough, they're not so, you know, dishonest that they will forge a shtar. Right? Right. Is it only an umdana, or is it more than that? We'll get back to this. Okay. Then the Gemara says, oh, where are we up to? The Rava Maitama La'omaka Rava. So we have this argument between Rava and Rava. Why you need the Fana Nechta, Fana Nechta. Right? Whether it's Mishum L'Shma or Kim Shtaros. We also have a parallel Shaklavataria for each. Why don't you need two Edom? Why can you get away with one Edom? You know, why is that a Kula, not a Chumra, etc.? Because then the Gemara touches on the problems of Edecho Nam and Bisurim, and Davashu Be'erba, and Eskaza Kisura, and Agav, the Gemara speaks about the problem of, you know, the real concern for Lishma, Stam, Sifrei, Nigmar, Gmiri, and the problem of, you know, really worrying about Kiyum Shtaros. The din of Reish Lakish, Edom Achsum Al Shar Nasik Mishnach Rizim Bezdin. We'll get back to all that. But why do they argue? Right? Why doesn't Rava agree with Rava and Rava agree with Rava? Yeah. So the Gemara says, Rava doesn't agree with Rava. Amalach miktani b'fanai nechtav l'shma. B'fanai nechtam l'shma. Why don't we just add the word l'shma if that's the problem? Whereas if it says b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, you know, if it's kiyum shtaros, that's all you need to say. Okay. The Rabba says, Bidin hu delis niachi. You could have said that. El di machshisle dibure also lemigzaya. Okay. If you say too much, you know, they'll cut you off. Yeah. The zimnin de lo omar lebefonai nechtav, and that will be the problem. Hashtanami also lemigzaya. Says the Gemara, Chada mitlas, Goyes, Chada mitarti, lo Goyes. I'm not going to get into this right now. We'll get back to, this all relates to, again, this problem of how far we go in protecting. Okay, what about the other way? Why does Rabba not agree with Rabba? So the Gemara says, Rabba maitam loma ka Rabba, omalach imkein disni b'fonai nechtam v'sulo. Meaning, if the problem is one of kim chosamos, meaning the signatures of the Edim, so why b'fanai nechtav? It should just be b'fanai nechtav. Right. B'fanai nechtav lamali, shma mina b'inan l'shma. V'rava b'dinu delisni hachi, If you only said, then they'd say, oh, this is like a typical, kiyum chosamos, and it should require two. So since it says, since they changed the nusach a little, they made it a little peculiar, so, you know, we understand it's different, and we're not asking too many questions. Okay. B'edecha. Right. The rabba midami hasim yadinam. Right. Hacha. Hasam isha lamhemna. There are other differences, you know, that already establish, you know, that b'fanei nachtam, or even if it just said b'fanei nachtam, that we're not dealing with regular, you know, kiyum shtaros. Hasam isha lamhemna, hacha isha mehemna, hasam bal davar lamhemna, hacha bal davar mehemna. Okay. V'rav amar lach, atu hacha ki amri yadinan mi lamhemni. The chivin the ki amri, if they said yadinan, right, mehemni, asu lechlufe b'kiyum shtaros, the alma beidacha. Okay. So this, this is the shaklavataria of the Gemara. L'rav ad amar lefi shem b'kiyum l'shma. Now we come to the part that I'm really most interested in, and my time is almost up, but at least let's just introduce it. And we'll get back to some of these other questions later, but more important for us to focus right now on the shtaros part. So the Gemara says, "Rabba damar lefi shem b'kiyum l'shma." Getting back to Rabba, that the problem is the problem of l'shma. Man haytana d'boi k'siva l'shma, u'boi chasima l'shma. So again, we just talked about, you know, why do you say b'fanai nechtav and not only b'fanai nechtam if you hold kiyum chasamos? So now the Gemara is saying, and according to Rabba, it's a bigger problem. According to Rabba, the reason that we say b'fanai nechtam is because of l'shma, right? If it's because of l'shma, who thinks that you need l'shma both on k'siva and on chasima? Ah, what do we mean? I Ravi Meir, chasima boy, k'siva lo boy. What is Rabbi Meir? So, my time is almost up. So, I'm going to stop here and here, but I first want to get in the Mishnah on Peivav, and then we'll pick up at this part next time and start analyzing the issue. The reference to Rabbi Meir and to Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara that we're about to read is the Mishnah, again, in Hamagarish, of Peivav Omed Aleph. That seems to be where a lot of the action is in the last parak of Gittin.
On the notes, it's the first one.
Yeah, so in the Mar Makomos, it's the first entry. Right. So the Mishnah here on Peivav Omed Aleph says Shlosha Gittin Psulim. The famous Mishnah, most important Mishnah maybe. It's hard to know whether it's Sadi Omed Aleph or Peivav Omed Aleph. But Shlosha Gittin Psulim, there are three Gittin, I mean three types of get, you know, written, you know, in a incomplete way, you might say, that are psulin. Now, psulin typically means pasul midrabana, not batel. The Rambam says that the language of pasul means midrabana. If you want to say in Gittin that something is disqualified minatori, you should say eno get or batel. That's in the Rambam anyway. But it's been taken from this Mishnah and from others. So the Mishnah says, shlosha gittin psulin, there are three gittin that are effective doraisa, but not midrabanan, they're pasul midrabanan, v'imniseis havlad kasher. And therefore, people who go ahead and marry, based on these gittin, and a child is born, they won't be a mamzer, because midaraisa, it's a good get, it's only midrabanan, not a get. What are they? Kasa b'ksav yada v'ein alaveinim. He wrote it out, meaning the Baal, in his own ksav yad, in his own handwriting, wrote out the get. Oh, and there are no witnesses. Right? Kasa b'ksav yado, he wrote out the whole get, there are no witnesses signed on it. That's one. Or yeshal of edim dein bozman, there are edim chasumim, but there's no time in the get. Or yesh mozman, there is time in the get, but ein bo ela ed echad. There's no witness, there's only one aid. Okay? So hare elu shlosha gittin tzulin v'nisa sablad kasha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Af al pi she'ein olav edim, even if there are no witnesses at all, ela shenasnu la bifnei edim, but the shtar, without any written signatures, was handed over in the presence of edim, kosher. That would be a proper shtar. The gove minachasim ishubadim, it would work even to collect from lien property. She'ena edim chosmim ala get elam b'tei tikkun olam. Because the only reason you need witnesses to sign on a get is midrabanan bishum tikkun olam, in case somebody complains and you have to verify the shtar. So this Mishnah seems to record an argument between Rabbi Eliezer, that's what's known as edim nesira karsi. Edim are witnesses on the handing over of the contract. That's their function. As opposed to, it's not clear who the Tanakama of the Mishnah is, but it might be Rabbi Meir, who holds Ede Chasima Karsi, that it's the signatures or the signators of the aid who make the shtar a shtar. So, if you look at Rashi, the first Rashi, he says, Haikana Lav Rabbi Meir, Lav Kirabi Meir Sfirale, Tamar Ede Chasima Karsi, to the Rabbi Meir Avlad Mamzer. He's concerned about the case of Kasa Biksav Yado, the Ein Alamedim. Let's say he wrote it in his handwriting, but there are no witnesses. So Rashi says that can't be Rabbi Meir, because he needs witnesses. Otherwise, the shtar is no good, Minat Torah, and a child that born from that next wedding, next relationship, would be a Mamzer. However, he says, Ulaman de Mukale be Gemara, Rabbi Meir. There is a man Dharma in the Gemara that says the Resha is Rabbi Meir. Maybe when he writes it out with his own handwriting, it's like there are 100 witnesses. Hodas Baldin Kmeid. It's the equivalent of Eidos. We'll discuss this. The Lav Kirov Elazar Sfirulay, it's certainly not Rabbi Elazar, the Amar, Eidim Asira Karsi, the Palig Rabbi Elazar Besefa. That's Rabbi Elazar. We know where he is in the Mishnah. Elakimedik Sav Yadohu, the Kasav Anasan Karinabe, if you write it out by hand, right, it's called the Kasav Sefer Krisus Venasan Biyado, Alphagav the Lake, and in Sira Kosher Vidaraisa. Umi Rabbanam Paslinu, Dilma Asil Akshur Biksav Sofer, Hilkachotinase, Vimnase Avlad Kosher, Vidafik Sav Yado, Viksav Sofer, Ain Shem Aid, Avlad Mamser. Okay. So basically, this Mishnah introduces us to the position of Rabbi Eliezer, and maybe by extension, Rabbi Meir. The Gemara discusses, if you look at the Gemara in Pei Vav Mabeis for a minute, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Halachik Rabbi Elazar Begitin, is at the two dots, or in the Mar Makovos in the sheets, first page, Kamisa Kameh Shmuel, Amar Af Bishtaros, Rav Savar Bishtaros Lo. The Gemara goes back and forth and forth and back. The Gemara seems to say we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in Gittin, and there's a debate whether we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in other Shtaros as well. So from this sugya, there emerges a major debate about Shtaros. What is a Shtar? A shtar is a piece of paper that is handed over, a piece of paper without any signatories. I mean, it's from the story. It, you know, outlines the conditions of a contract, and it's handed over in the presence of witnesses. Or a shtar is a story which is signed with the signing of two witnesses in the text itself. And then, sounds like, it could actually be handed over not in the presence of witnesses. Two radically different views of what a shtar is. So we'll get back to this. What the Gemara and Ardaf wants to know, Gimel Amadeus to Dalet Amud Aleph, said, well, how come Bifanei Nachtav, Bifanei Nachtav? Because the Gemara assumes as follows. If you're like Rabbi Eliezer, the Eid and the Sira Karsi, there are no signatures. So when the Torah says, the Kasav La Sefer Krisus, you have to write Lishma, it means the Ksiva Saget, the story of the Get. But then you don't need chasima lishma. You don't even need chasima at all. But if you hold like Rabbi Meir, so then the word v'kasav really means v'chasam. It doesn't mean the story of the get. It means the part that's written that makes the get a get, namely the edus part of it. So then you need lishma, not on the ksivas aget, on the sofer part, but on the chasimas aget. But then why do you need to say Bifanei Nachtav? Okay, so that's, we'll pick up with that next time in the Gemara, but what I'm really interested in doing after reading, you know, those lines, is to try to go back and understand this debate, this is a Shas debate, whether or not Eidi Mesira Karsi or Eidi Chasima Karsi, and how that affects Gittin, other Shtaros, etc. Okay.